Back now at Texas Southern University, the site of the third Democratic presidential debates, hosted by ABC News. It's coming up just after the top of the hour at 5 o'clock. And another guest joining us here on the floor, we have Adrienne Watson. She's the director of the DNC War Room. Adrienne, thanks for sitting down with us.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll toss it now to Dr. Dave McKeon.
Well, thank you again for joining us. Why don't you tell us about the DNC War Room, what the DNC War Room is all about?
Yeah, so the DNC War Room, it's a big name, but it basically means it's a group of staffers from communications and research and mobilization, and what we do is rapid response, which means like nonstop reaction to what's going on in the news cycle. We all know, especially with this president, how much news is generated every day, and it's our responsibility to brief reporters about it, about Trump's record, hold everyone accountable to the facts, hold Trump accountable, and we have some fun along the way. We also go to his rallies and we'll do mobile billboards, whatever, run ads that talk about the things that matter most to people, which is not really what this president's talking about.
So you're also trying to inject some humor into what's going
on
and kind of poke some fun in that sense. All right, so as you do this and as we look at some of these social media tools, how quickly are you able, you see a tweet come out from the president, he uses this early and often. What's the strategy, or kind of walk us through how quickly you folks are responding and who you're targeting and how that kind of works?
Yeah, so we have a team of probably 20 researchers at least whose job is to monitor the news all the time. So they are on Twitter. They're also, in really local media markets. We're in like 70 media markets, I think, now across the country. And we monitor for that kind of news when it happens. You know, we try to avoid the knee-jerk reaction of just responding to anything that Trump tweets about. And we try to stay focused on economy, pocketbook issues, healthcare, and so much more. But that being said, a lot of the time what he tweets is stuff that we have to respond to. And, you know, for us to get a response out, you know, depending, it's always within probably, 10, 20 minutes. It's
right.
Immediate.
Right. And also that cycle is also compressed. We've seen that change. You have the
exactly.
rapid cycle,
right.
And it's compressed, and we're into the next thing from morning, afternoon to night, even if it's not faster than that.
Yep.
So as you do this, you also talked about a hyper-local focus. And,
yep.
and as Democrats look at holding on to the House or reaching out to the Senate or winning in some of those districts that they barely lost in some of the battleground states or Rust Belt states. How does the DNC work and the War Room work with that broader strategy of getting those voters and holding on to them?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the most important thing we can do. A lot of this team worked on the campaign in 2016, and, on the one hand, it was a lot of fun in that there was all kinds of opposition research on Trump that doesn't come out on politicians very often. We had a lot to do with it. But that being said, a lot of it didn't stick. And one thing about this election cycle that's really exciting is the fact that now Trump has a record, right? So, when we would tell people in 2016 that he was promising things he couldn't deliver, people said, wait and see. Now we have his policy record. We have how he's hurt people. And the most important thing we can do right now is to be in these very, small, medium-sized communities in battleground states and be communicating with people about how their health care is jeopardized, or how they're not, the jobs aren't coming back, factories aren't opening. One thing we do that I think is cool is, we'll take a promise that Trump made. Let's say he was in, Youngstown, and he says, not another factory will close. We'll take that promise, and when he comes back to Youngstown, we push around to everybody so that, reporters and people in those communities know that he stood on the same ground, often even the same podium, and made these promises, and they're not things that are coming true, and they have failed the people of those communities.
Well, it sounds like you have opposition research joined with targeted social media in a faster cycle with a particular president that's pushing that envelope.
Yep.
Does that begin to change as the nominee is solidified for the Democratic Party, or how do you anticipate what this looks like, say, in a year's time?
Well, I mean, it's more important than ever in that, we have a bunch of incredible candidates, but they're spending all of their time on each other, right? And
right.
they don't have time to build these, it's vast kind of troves of research and archives, and it takes an enormous just amount of legwork to background, hundreds of national reporters and hundreds of local reporters on these things. So, you know, it's more important than ever that we are able to do this for the nominee and able to deliver it. And then, you know, when we join forces with the nominee's team, you know, that's kind of that's the best time of the cycle. That's when you drop all of the best stuff you've got, you put it in ads, money goes behind it, and a lot more.
Right, and if you look at this cycle is so compressed. I mean, we're right around the corner for Iowa and New Hampshire. Yeah. Not to make you too nervous, you're probably not sleeping very much, and you're certainly not working hard enough, right?
No,
so you can see that how those hours are going to go up. How do you anticipate that this changes once we start to kick off Iowa and New Hampshire, and we have some of those early primaries? Because you know the president is going to be going after, whether it's Senator Warren or Senator Sanders or the socialism kills or whatever it's going to be, whatever those themes are, that Democrats are going to hit back, and how does that shape up early on as the early races take off?
Yeah, well, like, you know, we know what his game is, right? It's fear-mongering, and, you know, you saw before the midterms in 2018 his emphasis on, you know, caravans, and then we didn't hear anything after Election Day, right? I think the American people have gotten kind of better at noticing what is a distraction and what is, you know, actually an issue that impacts them. But, you know, I anticipate he just continues to say these crazy things. And in some ways, you just kind of let Trump kind of implode on himself, right? I mean, these things, you know, like I said, I'm from Indiana, and a lot of people there, even people who voted for Trump, are frustrated by his constant tweeting, and they see it as a distraction from the things that he said he would deliver on. And so, you know, there's a huge element of ramping all this up, but there's also a, you know, important part of it where, as the president continues to get, you know, worked up and respond to everything and say, you know, nothing of meaning, and be so ineffective, where we can just kind of let him speak for himself.
Okay, you ready? This is just recorded radio. It's totally fine. Just between us.
Yep.
Let's take the model that he's put forward. It's an offensive goal-minded formula. What do Democrats, what does the DNC war room learn from his approach that about the diversions or about this? How do you use that model, or what lessons do you take from it? Clearly, the DNC war room is responding to what he's doing, but what lessons do you learn from the White House for their approach that are helpful down the line for what you all are doing?
Yeah. I mean, look, most of the things that he does, we feel like we are proud that we do differently. I think some of the things he does probably, you know, well, is he's a very good small dollar donor, fundraiser. And so we think that our candidate needs to be someone who can raise money the way he can, which is really hard. He also, you know, in terms of the war room, he uses social media in a way obviously no one has ever used before.
Right.
And while we wouldn't want to emulate his approach, you know, there are some lessons to be learned from that, right?
Sure.
I think there's just a lesson to be learned that everybody learned in 2016, hopefully, which is just, you know, people are fed up and they are so frustrated and they do want change. And we have to deliver on that. That's on us.
All right. You ready? So what are you watching for tonight in the debate? You're working for the DNC, so
yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah.
But what are you looking for tonight?
Oh, man. I think... people are looking for, you know, the candidate who can kind of rise above the fray.
Are you watching Mayor Pete closely since you're from Indiana?
I'm from Indiana, yeah. You know, they're all, I mean, given how much we watch the news cycle, I feel like I see every piece of news on all of them pretty equally at this point. You know, I think we're all looking to have everybody on the same stage, right? That's exciting. I mean, it's good to see the dynamic.
Which group of folks has the best oppo or war room going in your view?
Oh, man. Actually, I'm not on the receiving end of a lot of that, so I don't know.
That's good for you.
You know, they're all really talented. We have, you know, operatives on every team that we've worked with before, and they're all really good. So
excellent. Adrian Watson of the DNC War Room, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.